This is Fresh Capital. Every week we provide a refreshingly simple way to learn how companies operate and how investing works. If you're not already subscribed or a follower, please hit the button on your app now. If you are subscribed and following, tell a friend about us. You sharing Fresh Capital is the only way we grow. We also have an email, freshcapitalpodcast@gmail.com. Check it out in the show notes. Do you have a company we should break down or a guest you'd like to hear from? Send your suggestions to us along with any other feedback. Anyway, enjoy this week's episode. Welcome to another episode of Fresh Capital. Every week we provide a refreshingly simple way to learn how companies operate. My name is Dan and I'm joined by my good friend Albert. Albert, how are you going?
Dan, going pretty well. We found a few houses yesterday that we really like, so we've put in an application for this great house in Glebe. It's got this amazing rooftop courtyard that overlooks the city. It's a really short walk to work. So fingers crossed we get some good news on Monday.
What makes a good house for you, Albert?
I think this one's got amazing Smeg cooking appliances. The bathroom is really nice. It's got one of those open showers where it's only just a small glass panel that separates the bathroom and the shower. So it just feels like luxury.
Feels like you're in a hotel.
Exactly.
Hoping all the best for that one, and hoping I get an invite to the housewarming. It's interesting that for this week's episode, you've moved away from talking about your car search to your house search, because this week we're discussing the pitch for Lucid Motors. Don't worry if you haven't heard of them before. We're going to get into who and what they are. As with every week, we'll start off with a summary of the business. We'll then discuss what's driving its revenue. Not much in this case, but trends in the industry and competitors are going to be a key point to focus on. And then we'll finish the episode with our overall verdict on the company. So Albert, what is Lucid Motors and why haven't we heard of them yet?
Yeah, Dan, that's a really good segue. Well done. Let's kick it off. Lucid Motors is an electric vehicle company. I'm just going to abbreviate that to EV, just to shorten this up a bit. And it aims to manufacture EVs in the US. But what makes them different from other EV makers, such as Tesla, Volkswagen, etc., is that they've got both a really premium luxury vehicle that is set apart from all the other cars, or they're hoping to set it apart from all the other cars, as well as a car that has autonomous vehicle technology ready. So it's got quite a few driver assist features that once autonomous vehicles come onto the market and are allowed for by regulation, they can easily start to turn their cars into autonomous vehicles. They were historically a battery company called Ativa, but rebranded in 2016 to start developing and ramping up their EV research and then ultimately manufacturing prototypes of their first car, which is looking to launch this year, called the Lucid Air. What's interesting is that we haven't really heard a lot of information about Lucid Motors historically. They've been in the news recently because they've been acquired by SPAC. That's a special purpose acquisition vehicle in the US. But they've also received quite a lot of money from the Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund. So in 2018, they received a pretty sizable investment of $1 billion, which has been funding a lot of their manufacturing processes, testing, R&Ds in the last couple of years. Does that give you a pretty good overview of what Lucid is aiming to do with their business and their Lucid Air?
It does. So Lucid Air, for those who haven't heard of it, is like their Tesla Model S. It is the only model of their car or their fleet that they have sort of developed so far. And we say developed because they haven't shipped a single one of their Lucid Airs yet. It operates on a similar model to Tesla. For those of you that don't know, that's like a pre-order system. So rather than going to your local dealership, pointing to the car and driving straight off the lot with it, you pre-order it, and then they'll manufacture to order, which is a good system for startups in the car industry because it means you have very little wasted costs. You know that every vehicle that you manufacture has a buyer, and that really cuts down on obviously your inventory and also overheads and other things from overproducing cars. So there is method to the madness. The way I think about Lucid is it's like Tesla several years ago. They're starting out very lean. They've got a core product and an idealized market, and they're trying to hit that before expanding into other things. But I really want to hone in on this discussion, Albert, of how we view them as differentiating themselves from the marketplace. So we talked about how they're going to be EVs, so electric vehicles. There's different versions of these in the marketplace. Generally, you have what are called legacy vehicles, which are our traditional combustion engines. You put a fuel in and then they run. You have these hybrids where you have an electric motor in there, which can generally go for 50 to 60 miles. But then if anything fails, if it runs out of juice, a combustion engine kicks in and off it goes. The Toyota Prius is a good example of what that vehicle looks like. And then you have EVs, which are completely electric. And you have Tesla being the pioneer in that space. And you know, some of the traditional brands also dabbling in it with the Nissan Leaf and some of the various other Volkswagen has got a couple of the models as well. So that's the space we're in. But what's really interesting, and Albert, I know you've read part of Lucid's prospectus, is they've got this Venn diagram which shows where they see themselves in the marketplace. So picture in your head, listeners, on the left, you've got sport luxury, which is BMW. In the middle, you've got Mercedes, which is classic luxury, apparently. On the right, you've got Audi, which is tech luxury. Far off on the left, as a footnote, you've got Tesla as innovative, but not luxury, in their words. And then you have Lucid, which sort of has this bubble around BMW, Mercedes, and Audi, post-luxury. The fact that I immediately don't know what post-luxury is makes me very skeptical that they're capturing this market. Albert, what is post-luxury and why does Lucid think that they're grabbing that market share?
I love that you've brought this up already, because when I read through their investor presentation, it just feels like an overhyped Kickstarter. And I'll get to my reasons why I think it feels like an overhyped Kickstarter. But it's because they haven't sold a single car, but they've raised bucket loads of cash through their SPAC and the money they've received from the Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund. And so to me, it just feels like internet marketing hype meets Kickstarter campaign for an electric vehicle. But what, to answer your question, Dan, what makes them a post-luxury car is that they've just combined all those elements and then redefined what those elements mean using this phrase post-luxury. So they've combined the, you know, the performance of a sports vehicle such as BMW with the classic luxury brand of a Mercedes, with the tech elements of Audi's and the innovation of Tesla, to then form this brand called Lucid that they've defined as post-luxury. So for customers who want more from their car, but also want all the established luxury, such as sport, classic tech, Lucid is the car for you.
It's quite audacious, I think. In their presentation, they try and define post-luxury by looking at what, you know, luxury looked like in the past. So traditional luxury, as they say, is about status, opulence, materialism, and they've got photos of, you know, Louis Vuitton handbags and such. And post-luxury, they say, is about well-being, refinement, sustainability. You know, it's hard not to view this as a play at the new Hollywood elite who drove around in Toyota Priuses, a very sustainability-focused, environmentally focused, into yoga and meditation. Look, that's fine if that's their market, but trying to pitch it as being some huge untapped market which covers BMW, Mercedes and Audi's market share, I think is a bit of a stretch. It's telling to me that they're a United States focused brand. Their play is going to start off with California, of course. To me, it stinks of a company which has an idea of an established market, is really pitching for it, but you know, after the first couple of years, I think it's going to wear thin. I can't see where they're going to grow from there.
Yeah, I actually agree with that point. I think you and I are aligned on, you know, the EV market is going to be a huge growth industry or a growth area for a lot of vehicle manufacturers. And I think a lot of consumers want to get into the EV market. You can see the popularity of hybrid cars showing this. And then, you know, as more people buy Teslas and other EVs, like the Nissan Leaf in Australia, I think it really shows there's huge consumer demand. But for me, there are two things that need to be true about electric vehicles that aren't really currently there, especially for a company like Lucid to be successful. The first is, in its current form, EVs are actually a sacrifice or a burden for their buyers, and that needs to be addressed. And when I say burden, what I mean is charging times for EV can be quite long. Charging stations are difficult to find, are sparse, especially if you're not in a major city or a city that has this kind of infrastructure. And additionally, when you do find a charging station, they can be quite unreliable. They're not maintained particularly well, especially if it's a charging station that's owned by the government versus a charging station that's owned privately. I think the second thing is, in its current form, the people who buy EVs kind of are very niche. When I say niche, they kind of fall into three buckets for me. The first is that they're quite wealthy. You know, EVs at the moment are quite expensive, so you do have to have a lot of money to buy EV, especially in Australia. If you're an EV buyer, you're either wealthy or environmentally conscious, or both. And you probably only really drive short distances, given that the batteries for EVs aren't particularly long in terms of how much charge they can hold. So in order for Lucid to really capitalize on growth in this area, not only do these things have to be addressed, their business has to also be the ones to address all of these key points.
Well, that's where we should dive into. First, we'll talk about how EVs can be differentiated amongst themselves, and then I think we can touch on the traditional markets and how it's going to play up against the legacy manufacturers. So when I assess how the EVs, and if we can just throw up Tesla and Lucid, I think, as the two, what differentiates them? Really sillily, I think, they've got 0 to 60 miles per hour as a benchmark. They have cost, obviously. How much does a single one cost? I think to your point, probably the most important one for a consumer is the amount of charge that the vehicle can carry. So how far it can travel on a single charge, what they call range. And then sort of to a lesser extent, I think you have like the interior, how nice it is, how luxe it is, that sort of thing. A similar thing that might cross your mind when you're comparing cars and one's got leather seats and one doesn't. For some people, leather seats would be a turnoff. For others, it would be a big plus and might sway their decision. To get into one which I think is most interesting, or actually I'll add on there, autonomous driving, sort of the software of the vehicle is another big factor. But to get into range, where Lucid are marketing themselves as being different from Tesla is that their Lucid Air at their sort of max capability has about 517 miles of range. Obviously, this is pre-production, so it's an estimate, but that's what they're hoping to produce. The Tesla Model S long range has 412 miles. So that's about 100 mile difference, about a 20% difference in favor of the Lucid Air, which I think is a key selling point. To me, where they fall off, though, is as they note in their prospectus, the Tesla Model S Plaid Plus, these names are just great, they roll off the tongue, is marketed to have a 520 miles of range and will deliver in late 2021, so later this year. And what that says to me is, yes, Lucid Air might have the longest range at the moment, But this is such a fast-moving space where technological developments are happening that it's unlikely to me that Tesla is going to be far behind. And the fact that in their prospectus, they're already noting that Tesla has a vehicle potentially coming out with the same range, slightly more than them, it tells me that there's nothing particularly unique about the technology that Lucid has. If Tesla is able to match it in the next 6 months, knowing the lead times for R&D, research and development, that means that this is a technology that is relatively ubiquitous, that is available to competitors in the market. So there is no competitive advantage except that they are getting theirs out maybe 6 months earlier. And to me, that's not an advantage. That's just a coincidence of timing.
And this is such a great point that you've started talking about the comparison between the two. I just want to quickly ask, what do you think are the challenges with starting a car company? Like, obviously, Tesla started, you know, a number of years ago and has performed really well, but they've started in the same kind of position as Lucid, where they were relying on pre-orders and a lot of hype to bring them up. Why do you think that Lucid may or may not be as successful as Tesla in the future?
For me, it comes down to marketing. So when I think of or consider purchasing a car, you know, at the end of the day, I have no idea how a car works. It's a magic box. I press down some levers and suddenly I'm shooting forward at 100 kilometers an hour or within the speed limit, I promise. And so what differentiates a Toyota to a Mazda for me or an Audi from a Mercedes? It's a lot of the superficial things. It's numbers like 0 to 60 miles per hour, probably never relevant to me, but it's indicative of another story, a story that I'm driving a car that's powerful, that's quick, that's fast. If I have a ute or a four-wheel drive, it's because I want to be someone who is traveling a lot, who's going out camping, is an active outdoors person. A vehicle is so much more about who you want to be perceived as, that I think that Lucid are going to find it really difficult to crack into this space as a new product. How did Tesla do it? Because they found a niche where they could sell themselves, sell their narrative as, we're the electric car company, we're innovative. Our founder freaking builds rockets to space. There's a whole story around who Tesla is. It's in their name. You know, the first person to create or harness electricity. They are innovators. If you drive a Tesla, you are also an innovator. Compare that to Lucid Air. The name sounds like, you know, some college kid taking an acid trip. Lucid dreaming, Lucid Air. What is that? So for me, what's really key for a new entrant into the market is either they do have a technology which sets them apart. And guess what? Tesla did have that. But Lucid don't have it here, or it's some other differentiating story, marketability about themselves, which I think is what they're trying to do. They're trying to define themselves as the luxury electric vehicle brand. I just think Tesla probably already has that market because they're not cheap. A lot of celebrities and, you know, high net worth individuals drive Teslas. Albert, you and I both know that the chancellor of our university drives a Tesla. There's already a status about them, which as much as they can say in their prospectus that Tesla is in some other bucket, they're innovative, not luxury. I think for, you know, the everyday person, Tesla is still in the luxury bracket. And so they're going to find it hard to find a niche of their own.
Yeah, I like this point a lot about brand eminence. I just quickly want to say to all our listeners out there, Dan is not sponsored by Tesla as much as it sounds like. I agree with you that, you know, Tesla's got this amazing brand eminence around it is a luxury vehicle. It might not be priced in the same way as a Lamborghini or Ferrari, but given the kind of technology, the EV status, the branding of both the company and Elon Musk, it is absolutely, in my mind, a luxury vehicle. Some people would argue, though, that because they've been picked up in an Uber that was a Tesla, that it is no longer a luxury vehicle, because who's driving Ubers in a Tesla? But I definitely still think it is a luxury vehicle. I think when I look at what Lucid is trying to do and what kind of brand they're building, around a really luxury, high class, exotic car. I just don't think that's a market that leads to lots of growth. I think once you start to carve out your target segments as people who only really want to buy a luxury vehicle, you're automatically constricting your growth. I know that that might then enable them to expand later because they'll make their luxury car more accessible in the future by, you know, doing what Tesla's done and releasing low cost or cheaper models. But I think to start with, you know, they're going to have to really compete in an EV market that both has really high-end brands like Tesla, as well as your traditional brands who have really established narratives behind them, like Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz, etc. So for me, I think Lucid has a lot of work to do to build that brand eminence if it wants to be competitive.
Absolutely. And I just see this inconsistency in their marketing, which cuts across this idea of them being a luxury EV brand. And this is where we can get into, I think, some of the traditional players. So compared to Tesla, they do come in at a higher price point. Their sort of maximum all-included edition of the car is about $160,000 US. The top line Model S for Tesla, I think, comes in, you know, several tens of thousand dollars cheaper than that. So congrats to them. They're more luxury in terms of being higher priced than Tesla. But if you compare it to the similar range of a Mercedes-Benz S-Class, you know, the top line for Mercedes-Benz is about $260,000, so $100K more. Now, it's really difficult, I think, for me to consider you as playing in the luxury space when the people you've identified, the companies you've identified as being traditional luxury, are 40% more expensive than you are. Like, you're trying to come in cheaper than them because you know your brand isn't as valuable, but sell yourself as being on the same level. It's just such a hard line, I think, to tread. Because at the end of the day, if you're someone who has the capability, has the money to splash $200,000 on a car, why are you going after the sort of less well-known Lucid Air compared to your Mercedes-Benz or your Audi or, you know, your BMW? It just jars. And I think there's a real inconsistency in their marketing about how this is going to work. And for me, it just comes back to Tesla again, and I promise I'm not being paid by them. But when you look at the arc of Tesla, it just makes so much sense from a branding perspective. They come in at a very high price point, which is naturally going to attract celebrities, high net worth individuals first, who then establish you as a premium brand, maybe not a luxury brand, but a premium brand. And then you can bring in the lower priced models. Elon Musk has said that they want to get a $25,000 car out to the market at some point. And then that gives people who definitely can't afford the premium cars a sense of, oh, I can still drive a Tesla and be someone who drives a Tesla, to be that type of person. Once again, going back to that aspirational idea of owning a car. And to me, that's the play. You come in at a luxury level or premium level, and then as you get all the facilities, logistics behind you, factories and whatever else, you can start creating efficiencies for you to build a lower cost model, which you can then sell to a broader marketplace of people who don't have as much money as that premium market. So to me, that's the model. And Lucid Air, I think, is just a little bit off track. But this is where we bring in some of the traditional players. Albert, how do you see Lucid comparing up against the Volkswagens, some of the other big conglomerate car manufacturers? And maybe what do you see in that space in terms of disruption and why EV is the way forward, even for those traditional players?
Good question. So I think for EVs to be the way forward, I think you kind of need two really major points to be true, kind of in addition to the ones I spoke about earlier. I think the first kind of on a price is EVs have to be cheaper or more competitive at a price point than traditional gasoline or petrol cars. At the moment, that's not necessarily the case, but a lot of manufacturers who traditionally produce petrol or gasoline cars, because they've already got supply chains have already got manufacturing plants, they've got established brands. They don't need to pour a lot of investment into all these other areas except for R&D. Because of that, they're in really good positions to start manufacturing EVs at a competitive or a lower price point than petrol gasoline cars. I think the second thing then is kind of back to this convenience point around EVs and being a burden. The convenience of EVs also need to be greater or equal to one of a gasoline car. So if you drive a gasoline car, you know that you can just go fuel up anywhere at a Shell station. You can go fill up relatively easy. There's petrol stations anywhere, you know, within 100, a couple hundred meters of each other in Australia. It's the same in the US. At the moment, charging stations are very sparse. You know, you can't really go too far on a full charge, and it takes quite a long time to charge your vehicle. And so in order for EVs to take off, those things need to be addressed. And again, all of these established brands, because they've got brand evidence, that because they've invested a lot into traditional cars, because they've got supply chains and logistics, they know how this infrastructure works, especially companies like Tesla, because they've already started to get charging stations, working with governments to put charging stations in, building that brand evidence through batteries, etc. I think they're way better, or they're well positioned to address those two points in order for EVs to start to take off. So whilst I think overall EVs are where the market is heading, I don't think Lucid is the kind of organization or the business who's going to address a lot of those two points, especially with their focus on trying to be a luxury brand.
Absolutely. So there's a whole manufacturing scale which goes behind this, which I think is really underappreciated. When you look at the big car groups, for example, Volkswagen, which owns Porsche, Bugatti, Skoda, Lamborghini, you know, they produce multiples above what Tesla and some of the other EVs are in terms of cars every single year. In 2018, they delivered about 11 million cars. For comparison, last year or sort of this year to in the financial year's timeframe, Tesla produced about 500,000 cars. So already Volkswagen is 20 multiples ahead of what Tesla's producing. And in 2018, when it did deliver that 11 million cars, only about 40,000 of them, or 0.4%, were those pure electric vehicles. And only about 60,000 of them, so 0.6%, would have been those hybrids. So I guess where the shoes on the other foot, and in terms of looking at the traditional players out of it, is they're pretty slow at adopting this technology and adapting to it. And you ask, why is that the case? It's because their whole business has been about setting up efficiency after efficiency in the manufacture of these machines. You would have all these factories set up, finely tuned to produce a specific type of vehicle, a specific type of combustion engine. And it's been for over 100 years now that they've had that particular technology as the foundation of their business. And now you're asking them to completely flip literally the engine of their business. You know, it's really difficult to do. It requires billions of dollars of investment in changing how their factories are set up and how they produce things. And it's not a surprise to me that they're slow to do so. So if I was to try hard, admittedly, to look at how Lucid might be successful in this space, it's by essentially saying they don't have the baggage of the traditional players. They're nimbler. They can set up a new factory in Arizona completely to their needs, which can then power them ahead. But I just think that the scale at which some of these large conglomerates like Volkswagen are operating, it's going to catch up. And when we talk about the tailwinds, I think it's helpful to be specific. You have multiple governments saying or setting targets to have essentially, you know, carbon neutral cities, or not to have any more combustion engine vehicles on their roads in terms of new cars by 2050 in the case of the EU, 2030, I think, for California in the United States. So there's already a big push from governments to say, we're getting rid of the combustion engine. And so even if it's difficult for Volkswagen to turn around its factories. The impetus is there. They know where the money is. And I think they're going to get into it really, really, really quick. And I think quicker than Lucid Motors can take advantage of them. Maybe not so for Tesla, because they're already in this space. But for Lucid, I think it's really, really hard.
Yeah, and that's probably a good kind of intro into the bull and bear case. Kind of the bull case you've touched upon, the bear case we've touched upon in the entirety of this episode. I think just to add to your bull case points, I think what needs to be true for that bull case to be there for Lucid in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years is that they can harness this Arizona plant to then start manufacturing and moving towards EVs at a lower cost and take share from all of these established players. Like the Nissan Leaf is a low cost EV that's like taken off in Japan. You know, some of the cheaper Tesla models or a secondhand Tesla, you know, they've got to be a lot more competitive than them in order for Lucid to outperform and become a really dominant player in the EV market. I think the other thing we haven't touched upon yet in the bear case for Lucid is the political nature of, you know, investment from the Saudi sovereign wealth fund. And then when you think about, you know, American-Saudi relationships, how that starts to play out, I think there's an interesting point that could come up in the future as to how Saudi starts to control their investment or whether they control it at all, or whether there's increased political tension between the two countries and how that could affect Lucid.
I love that point because it's something out of left field. I hadn't considered at all. But as soon as you say it, it sparks so many other sort of strings in this bow that I think are important to note, which is, as we mentioned before, I think in some of our other episodes, there is an increased sentiment of nationalism among countries and governments, particularly around privacy and data. And one of the things that Tesla has marketed itself as is it's not just a car company, it's an innovation company, it's a tech company. Why is that? It's because cars receive so much information about us and can facilitate so many avenues for other tech players to plug in. So Tesla has already partnered with Netflix in terms of having Netflix in their screens and back seats and whatnot. You can think of what other kinds of technology are going to be plugged into these vehicles, particularly as they become autonomized and self-driving. There's millions of people who every day spend several hours in a car, and that has not been commoditized up to this point. There hasn't been a way to put ads in the vehicle, opposed to, like, you know, having a billboard up or something like that. But once we have self-driving vehicles, autonomized vehicles, there's just going to be so much of a play around commoditizing that space. And that's where data and information is going to become so critical and so pivotal. And when you think of another key manufacturer, which is China, which also set some targets around having EV vehicles predominantly to reduce their carbon emissions, I can see cases where America balk at the idea of having widespread Chinese manufactured cars which are transmitting data back to China. I can see a similar case for if it's a Saudi-backed company as well. And then you've got Tesla, conveniently, you know, American-made, American-designed and whatnot. So I can see this real nationalism of the car industry perhaps taking place, particularly as data and privacy rise up the priority list for our governments.
Yeah, it's such an interesting point to end on, because it's almost the reverse in Australia, where we reject any sort of nationalism towards the manufacturing of cars, with no car industry in Australia anymore.
Not for want of trying, Albert, I'll add.
Yes.
But I think you're right. We can probably sum up there. We might have beaten Lucid to death, but let's sum it up, Albert. What's your verdict?
I think the verdict for me is a no. I think when I look at it, even just on face value, it's a company that's been valued at $16 billion, hasn't sold a single car, and is only looking to forecast to generate about 2.2 million in revenue next year. So looking to sell about 20,000 cars. I think for me, that already just doesn't justify its valuation as a business. And then I look at how intensive, especially capital intensive, car manufacturing is and how crowded and saturated the landscape is, to me, I just don't think Lucid is the company that's going to get there.
Yeah, I agree. But so for the sake of having a bit of difference here, I'm going to take a bit of a contrary approach, which is to say, this is what will be true if Lucid does succeed. And the way I see it is it's all about the technology. If they can come up with a legitimate technical innovation, then I think they could be successful. And where do I see that innovation happening? One of two things. Either it's in the battery, which deals with the range of the vehicle. So for electric vehicles, they have, you know, batteries in a T shape, with the top of the T being in the back. And the reason for that is so that the weighting of the vehicle gives it a balance. But they're really, really heavy. You know, a typical electric vehicle, about 40% of the weight of the car is the batteries. For a combustion-driven car, it's about 25% of the weight of the car. And that's the core reason why there's this restriction on the range of these vehicles. The solution can't be you just add more batteries in so the car can drive further, because it just weighs it down too much. So if they can solve that problem, if they can truly innovate and find a way to have less batteries in the car but go further, then that will set them apart, and I think they could be successful there. The second thing, which is one we haven't really touched on, and that's the idea of autonomous driving. In the industry, there's different levels. I think level 6 is like the true, you're not touching anything, you're reading a book with your legs up and the car does absolutely everything. And 1 is, you know, you have to completely do everything yourself with the car. There's different levels in automation. And one of the differentiators between Tesla and Lucid is Tesla has explicitly said that they will not use what I think is called LIDAR, which is like radar, but they use lasers to sort of map out what's around the car and then determine how it should self-drive. Whereas Tesla has gone in another direction, saying we're just going to have, you know, a whole heap of cameras around the vehicle receiving in information, and we're going to do our self-driving automation that way. So there are legitimate differences in how companies are going around addressing the problem of how do you create a self-driving car. If they can crack that in a way which is different from Tesla and some of their competitors, that's another way I think they could be successful. But on the whole, I agree with you, Albert. I think they're dreaming.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, just to end on a little fun fact, LIDO is actually not that new of a technology. If you've ever watched The Italian Job, it's what they use to determine where the safe is in the very, very first scene of The Italian Job, where they steal a safe from Venice.
All right, Albert, let's finish up there. Thank you for listening to Fresh Capital, a podcast about learning how companies operate in a refreshingly simple way. Please support our podcast by rating it 5 stars on Apple iTunes, subscribe and follow. Every follow and rating really helps us out. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Fresh Capital. Every week, we provide a refreshingly simple way to learn how companies operate and how investing works. Just a reminder, all information contained in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional, financial, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of Fresh Capital are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Any opinions expressed in the show are not recommendations or advice. Please consult a licensed financial professional before you jump in. As always, we look forward to seeing you next week. See ya!